Thank you, Josh. Thank you for all coming. Let me just introduce my colleague, Meghna Aruru, at Roosevelt University. We've been looking at this phenomenon, medical tourism, for a few years and published a number of things, have a major manuscript in place. And if you let us know, we'll be writing this up much more extensively than this brief presentation. But we've defined medical tourism of any travel for health enhancement, particularly in the case of India, where there's a lot of looking at the CAM or alternative medicine things that are corporatized and also being marketed to people outside to try to achieve some bargain care. It's cheaper, and that's one of the major incentives. It all depends upon ability to pay out-of-pocket money, and that obviously delineates who can travel there and also has a tremendous impact on the native population. I've built a career on decrying the corporatization of medicine and pharmacy here in the United States, and so when I travel abroad, I just cannot understand people being enamored by the U.S. policy that we've had in effect around market-driven healthcare. But in the United States, a lot of the tourism began with uninsured and underinsured people who were trying to find some access to care. The point also to be made is a lot of Britons and even other Europeans want to jump the queue or have an exotic vacation or something. So that's part of the market also. And I lived in the Middle East for a while, and the Middle Easterners are all running to pockets in Asia to end up getting better care if you've experienced the systems in some of the Arab countries. This is to generate trade revenues. You get the direct foreign investment, you get the tourist dollars, you get the construction, and you get all these other kinds of things that are very important for developing economies. Other countries have jumped into it, and the United States, Miami, is becoming a medical tourism hub and things like that. So the U.S. used to be the place where people came. Rich people, foreign dignitaries came. This is the outflow of U.S. people. Mexico is big now in dental kinds of things. India is grown substantially because of its lower pricing. And Thailand and Singapore are other major hubs that have been there a while. This will give you a sense of a little bit of the differences. It's old data from 2009, but if you can get a bypass for $8,500 versus $144,000, you can understand where that's bargain care, and you can understand why certain employers, and some U.S. insurance companies are starting to look at this and paying for some people to go elsewhere for replacement hip and knee replacements and things like that. As you can see, it's mostly in the Asian Pacific area. That's the growth area. That's the area that jumped in first. That's the ones that have been benefiting well. And this is part of the kind of changes you can see in this. And this is, I believe, U.S. data, 166,000. It's risky. It's hard to get accurate information, and it's very, very full of marketing lore. Travel agencies arrange everything for you, bringing your spouse along with hotel accommodations. They can work in a pre-op or post-op vacation area and things like that. But it's a very slickly designed situation to lure people, and a lot of issues related to it. How's it work? You can quickly go through this. This is the first important thing. You put your visa or a check down, and then you're rolled into the operating room and you get your services. It's packaged in a way that is absolutely amazing if you look at some of these marketing sites and all. And again, the publicity is also in terms of this whole favorable presentation. And many from, there's about three or four medical tourism organizations, and they got magazines and brochures and conferences and things like that that work very effectively in making them look fantastic. Now, specifically on India, India's been a brick country growing rather well over the years. It is now beset with a lot of inflation, and that inflation also goes into, you know, healthcare prices going up and up, which has an impact not just in this private healthcare, but obviously on the care for all the rest of the population. And the one thing that characterizes, and everybody knows this, the uneven development in India. This growth in the GDP is all in certain centers, corporate centers and urban centers, and it's not dispersed across the country. The new BJP government is really hard on trying to increase industrialization and growth. Modi was just on tours in the United States and making reapproachments with Japan and China to try to go ahead and get more of this direct foreign investment and shake up the whole economy in that regard. India still has problems with infrastructure, and that's going to keep some of the corporate investment a little leery about jumping in until they can see how things are going. But the middle class has been growing in India, and you know, like every middle class in every other country, they want the modern lifestyles and products that we have in the West. India's health sector is gigantic. It's a very large, public health infrastructure. It's private mix, and historically, private has been private physicians in their practices or some private hospitals. The medical tourism phenomenon has brought in this corporate presence, very like the Hospital Corporation of America, AMI, and the other things that we saw in the proprietization of our health system. There is some growth in insurance. Employers have some, but this is the key figure. The out-of-pocket costs for most Indians is substantial. And personnel, a lot of problems with the availability of the health workforce. There are severe poverty pockets that are not touched in any kind of way, and it's estimated about 600 million people have little or no access to care. The corporatization of hospitals, these are just four of the companies, but there's about a dozen that are really fairly large presence, modern facilities, and expanding like crazy, and expected to jump even more with the more favorable conservative government in place. In contrast, again, and this is the major point that we're trying to make, is that the public sector is underfunded, understaffed, overwhelmed. Although there are some outstanding teaching and research institutes, and these are the places where the cherry picking is taking place from the corporate providers who want to go ahead and get modern medicine and good things going. Accreditation is part of their lure, Joint Commission International and this CRISIL group and things like that. Now, multinational drug companies have not really had the best dealings with the Congress Party in India, but this is likely to change with the Modi administration. The industry now is estimated to be somewhere in about $18 billion. It's been growing very rapidly with the strong generic national firms, but also with a lot more multinational presence. Understand that when Middle Eastern Saudi princes and Emirati extended families come to India for care, they don't want second generation oncolytics or anything like that. They want the top drugs in the world, the brand drugs, and that's going to bring pressure with commerce departments to go ahead and renegotiate things. Multinational capital will be having a big impact on the federal or their national drug coverage. Insurance is growing. All these BRIC countries, except for Russia, are looking forward to multinational finance capital coming in and creating insurance mechanisms that will bring them the wonderful health system that we have here. And managed care is coming to the forefront too. So these kinds of developments are all going hand in hand with this. If you're familiar with the Latin American economist Andre Gunnar Frank, one of his theoretical contributions was underdevelopment goes hand in hand with development. And this is the main point that we're looking at in terms of India. The public health sector having a major impact to it as this corporatization for medical tourism goes on. And it's something that hasn't been explored very much in the literature. For the Indian population, all you folks know all this stuff, the health situation is problematic and difficult to deal with, even with resources and even with a progressive government. And you can end up seeing that, you know, they're faced with the diabetes problems that China's also facing. These are issues that the current public health sector cannot really address very well. This is a concern in terms of, again, as the tourist sector ends up getting things jumping forward. There is some insurance mechanisms by employers, some unions, a lot of multinational capital give their some coverage to their employees. It tends to be a completely fee-for-service based. Pharmaceuticals, as you know, are regulated, and this is, we're going to look at how the dynamics affect the multinational brands coming into these tourist destined countries. I'm coming along to thinking that maybe my colleague Dr. Ruru would like to go ahead and handle these, but physicians, nurses, pharmacists, and I want to bring attention to this Ayush. I never saw it as an acronym before, but there are 11 accredited Ayush institutions in India right now that are alternatives for upper and middle class Indians who want to continue to use things that are historical or culturally to their thing. And these are also being marketed, and there's a big segment of trying to get Westerners to come and experience these things. But Magda, did you want to?
No.
You want, okay, all right, well, no problem. Magda's been a major contributor to this work. This is very important to look at. Now, the 4.3% of GDP spending on the public health sector, this India has not been serving its population, as you all know. Now, here's one of the points. Brain drain, a lot of you probably done research on this and also have read that research. It's not just a global factor of Indian physicians coming to the United States, but it's also this internal shifting between the public sector and the private sector. These corporate hospitals are modern. They got all the latest technology. They're pulling in all the latest brand drugs. The working conditions and salaries are better. And this the cherry picking is going on because of the rapid expansion of the corporate health system. There's no adequate malpractice mechanisms in most countries of the world. My colleague Steve Thompson and I have been looking at the U.S. and finding out how wacko our situation is. But if you should never think about relying upon the Indian judicial system if patients are aggrieved. All right? Okay. And I'll jump through this really fast. The Congress Party, Congress government, put together this plan that has had some successes and tried to target things and brought some awareness to the public health conditions. But, these are not likely to continue under the Modi administration. We'll see something entirely different. Private sector development is really what they're about, not different than any of the conservative line that you've seen before. It's a sloppy health system that needs a lot of repair. However, the public health efforts and good people on the ground all throughout the country are doing the best they can in handling these issues, and we hope that that's going to continue. Trying to sum up, the situation in the public health system needs a lot of investment, a lot of good planning, a lot of successes. The corporatization of the private sector, we predict, is probably going to lead to much more disparity as these shifts occur. And the trade revenue is really what most of these developing countries is running for. And that can be lucrative, but there are all these downsides that have to be investigated. And that's what we hope to delineate some of these.